You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835. Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you. You'll have to fight it from my cold dead hands. The freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come to us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
J. Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
The truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. All right, we're here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 15th of January and it's a Thursday. Ordinarily, we're going to have to depart a little bit from our normally regularly scheduled programming here because we have some very important updates we need to share with you here. And if you'll give me just a second here, trying to get some more people in here. I hope all of you have gone to Facebook and your email list and called your neighbors and tell them to tune into the Shooting Bench tonight here in just a little bit. And it's going to be just a few minutes, so hang in there, Tampico Scout. Let me get my other chat room deal going. I can't get in the chat like y'all can tonight, so I'm having to kind of wing it here a little bit. So, Edge of the Woods, you said you had something going on here when the gun stuff started, that you had something you wanted to share with us. So lay it on me here. Let's get a couple of things out of the way here, and then we'll get Tampico Scout in here. Got some very important stuff to share. But Edge of the Woods will be down here with me the end of next month with another Battlefield Medic class. It's filling up quickly, so if anybody's in the Southwest somewhere and would like to get in on that one, then you better give us a holler here as quick as you can. So I don't know if Edge of the Woods is still with us here or not. We got a minute or so delay. T-Dog just popped in there. We're going to try to get a couple of other topics out of the way here quick before Tampico Scout, before I call him. Remember the other night we talked about the deal that went on in Albuquerque with the murder of the homeless man and how those cops are going to be charged with murder, as it should be. And we talked about a little comparison there. Somebody kind of likened it to the Harold Fish story. You know, we spent quite a bit of time on that. Well, it turns out that the day that we were talking about all this, we had another one of those highly skilled, well-trained professionals in Albuquerque. They shoot and ask questions later, you know, that happens pretty regular. They've been involved in many officer-involved shooting. The problem with this one here, though, there were two officers involved in this shooting. No, it wasn't two officers shooting. It's that one of them was pulling the trigger and the other one was catching the bullets. Albuquerque went 5 whole months without a shooting. It came to an end after and as it's not funny that the officer is in critical condition. You know, that's not funny. It's funny that he was shot by a fellow officer. It is not funny that, you know, that he's in critical condition, and we do hope that he gets through this all right. But he was shot during an undercover operation. Now, you can't tell me, well, I won't spend too much time armchair quarterback in this, but I'm guessing that there was just a little bit of panic going on there and didn't turn out the way they'd hoped it for it to. Edge of the Woods, we did talk about AR pistols and short-barreled and ARs and stuff last week. And I'm not sure how do I feel about them. Okay, that's the story. Well, let's go through that here real quick. I think that for the most part that it is a gimmick. It is a gimmick unless you put a forward pistol grip on it, a vertical forearm grip up there. And then in close quarters and buildings and stuff, yeah, but then it becomes illegal. So you can't do that without I think it's an AOW stamp, any other weapon. And the problem with these things, whether it's an AK or an AR, the problem with them is that it is so absolutely indescribably, stunningly loud. When you take an AR or an AK and shoot it out of a 9, 10, 12 inch barrel, buddy, I want you to know that there ain't hardly enough hearing protection around for that. You must, if you want to preserve your hearing, you must wear plugs and muffs. They're not too terribly hard to handle. They're kind of hard to shoot accurately at longer range because they're just not built like handguns. They call them handguns, but only because they don't have a shoulder stock. Now, with an AR, how stupid is an AR pistol? With an AR, you still have the buffer tube sticking out of the back of it, which is not a shoulder stock. It kind of negates the notion that it's a pistol. It's difficult to shoulder it, which actually would be illegal if you did. And it's louder than a contender. Edge of the Woods, probably because most people put either flash suppressors or muzzle brakes on it and direct some of that sound either straight up or to the rear a little bit, instead of it blowing out forward. Now, there is a huge difference in which muzzle brake you put on there. Now, if you look at I had an AK pistol for a while, and the way that it was set up without the, of course, doesn't have the buffer tube and everything on it that I think sucks on a pistol. But Doc, it's not about velocity. It's not a varmint gun. So the velocity out of a short-barreled pistol doesn't, like we talked about the other night, with the heavier bullets and stuff at short-range, room-clearing ranges, that's really not a consideration. But I could put for a while I had an A2 flash suppressor on it. And good Lord Almighty, it was so loud. And then I put the the original one back on there that came, which was really nothing more than a little funnel and directed everything out to the front and didn't really help the flash too much at all. But it was quieter. It was still tremendously loud, but it was quieter. Other than that, I can't really see. If I would live with the noise if I could put a collapsible shoulder stock on it without having to go through the ATF to do it. For very close quarters in ships, airplanes, buildings, hallways, stuff like that, vehicles, I think it's an awesome idea. I think it's a great thing for those purposes. Trouble is, most of us won't have the opportunity to do very much of that. But if the AK pistol that I had for a while, the only thing I really... it would shoot pretty well. I could hit man-sized targets out to 200 yards with it pretty reliably. But mostly I would have had it for vehicle use. And other than that, it just really kind of a waste of ammo. It just really didn't really fill a niche that needed filling. If I could have had a collapsible stock on it, I would have kept it. But I just didn't want to go through all the hassle with the ATF and do all that, so I got rid of it. So other than that, I don't know if that's the answer you were looking for, Edge of the Woods, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I'm going to try now. I have 100 other stories that I want to try to get to. But we need to spend a few minutes here with Tampico Scout with some first-person information from the big rally that they had in Olympia today. And it's a little bit different than the last one. Let's see if we can get a hold of him. Ordinarily, I have them call in here. I've never done this with my own Skype before. It's always been with Just Measure. So let's see if this works here. Let's try it and see what happens. All righty. Tampico Scout, if you're there, one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy. Tampico Scout, if you're there, your phones are ringing.
Yep.
How about it? We got a good connection there?
It sounds good and clear to me.
All right, I think we got you. Welcome to the shooting bench. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Coop. How are you?
I'm dandy. Glad you could make it. I hear some considerable amount of stuff went on in Olympia this morning.
Oh, wow. Yeah, all over the state, really.
Good.
But, yeah, I mean, Washington, I think, made history again today, Coop.
Good. Now, you know, people have said things for a long time about Washington being, you know, not having the, not being like the Southwest, you know, that they had more of a liberal tendency up there. And maybe in some regards they do, but I'm going to tell you what, I have gone up there and stood shoulder to shoulder with 2,500 Patriots at one time. And while Washington may not be ideal politically to some of us, I can tell you one thing. There are Patriots up there that work hard, a lot harder than some of the rest of us do down in this part of the country. So what went on up there today?
You know, Cliff, we've got a generation of Patriots that have finally had enough and they're standing up. Well, let me start back a little bit back in December 13th rally there. When we were setting that up, we kept a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, private, just because dealing with the public and stuff. And as we were setting it up, all the Democrat groups in Washington State was trying to take over the rally because we weren't doing it their way like they have for years. And even went as far as the state contacted gun rights groups and had them purchase or get a permit so they could legally remove us from the Capitol when we came. And we battled that out with them, and we offered them, let the gun rights groups talk at our rally, and we couldn't come to an agreement. I even met with their liaison. They all got together and sent a liaison to speak with me, and I spoke with her, and we couldn't come to an agreement on that either. And so we just notified them, hey, if you're going to be there when we come, we're going to move you, and we're going to take the Capitol. Well, what ended up happening is we pulled off a great rally on the 13th, and so the gun rights groups decided they were going to throw their own rally, and we wanted to support them, and that was this weekend, today. And we showed up to support them, and the whole time they were telling us, well, we couldn't come with our long guns, we couldn't come armed. They wouldn't allow us to exercise our Second Amendment right, and it was a gun rights rally. And so we show up and join in their rally, and we noticed that through this whole time that they were restricting our rights just as much as the government was. And so we got together. Actually, there was a young Marine at the 13th rally. He was running that violation station, and you're probably remembering there, Cope.
Oh, yeah.
He started a group called the Patriot Stand. And his little group there had himself, Dylan is his name, Dylan White there, and then he recruited a guy named Zach and another guy named Shane, and they created this little group called the Patriot Stand. Well, it turned out that Gavin had some stuff over on the other side of the state to do on that day, so the Bold Liberty portion of the Gavin Syme and Bold Liberty team decided we'd throw in with the Patriot Stand team on the rally again at the invitation of Dylan. And if you don't mind, can I give the names of the two teams?
Sure.
On the Patriot Stand team, we had Dylan, Zach, and Shane. And on the Bold Liberty team, by the way, we picked up a new member, Sam Wilson. He actually ran for office here in Washington State at one time.
Good.
And then, of course, we've got Kit Lang. And then we've got my wife, Bree, and then, of course, myself. And that team, that makes up the Bold Liberty team. So we teamed up, and we decided to talk it through and kind of how we can best get the word out there, because we didn't like the way the gun rights groups were kind of castrating the movement, really. They wanted to do it their way.
Yeah.
And so we put out, we are coming armed. We are going to come as Americans. We're going to dress as we please, and we're going to be armed as we please. Well, we get to the Capitol, and the rally turned out lame. We had Anita Hicks, which is not well liked in our state. She's a fraud. And we got, what's his name? Alan Gottlieb.
Uh-huh.
So these two are frauds. They've been frauding the people here for so long. We actually found out ahead of time that they had no intentions of repealing this bill. They were trying to do a swap. We'll give you this and we'll take that.
Hold on just a minute. And some of you, I want to say that name a little slower. Some of you recognize this name, Alan Gottlieb. He's a writer. He professes to stand with the Second Amendment. And he, at one point, said he doesn't have any intention of getting rid of the background checks. He just wants to rearrange it a little bit in such a way that it suits him. So Alan Gottlieb is not everything that he professes to be. For those of you that follow him and on Facebook and whatever, Alan Gottlieb is no friend to the Second Amendment. So, go ahead, Tampa Eagle Scout.
Precisely. And so we got together and decided how we were going to do this, and we found the documentations, and we released it 2 days early. We found their documentations and released it 2 days ahead of what they wanted to, and just it caught them off guard. And man, they started a campaign against us like you wouldn't believe. And so we show up at their rally, supporting their rally, but we made it very clear we were standing for liberty. We weren't going to be bootlickers. And so we go to the top of the steps behind their rally, and we line up along the whole Capitol steps with our arms. And we started drawing attention. We're quiet. We're just taking photos. And we're lining up along the steps there, and then I notify all the people at the rally there that, hey, let's go take the Capitol. It's our building. Why not? And so we turned and started in the building. And then I turned around and I hollered out across the crowd, any true patriots follow us. And you know, Kit, you know how brave and hard-charging she is.
Oh, yeah.
She was the first one on the Capitol floor with her long arms. And so she charged in there, opened the door, and the crowd flew in. and the state patrol just spread the word. They got out of our way. We actually had a little conversation with the state patrol. Prior to that, the state patrol was telling us we were not coming in the Capitol building with our arms. They would stop us. And I notified the state patrol, we are coming in. It's our building. Step out of our way. And so when we got ahead and went and done that, they just got out of our way and let us come in. And we went in probably with, I would say, 30 people. We went right up to the fourth floor, went right down into the gallery there, right above the House of Representatives there, and they were in session there. And as soon as they seen us walk in the door, they closed session and they scattered like rats.
As rats and, that they are.
They abandoned the posts. Yeah, and they abandoned the posts. We had several that stayed there and stood up and applauded us. When we come in, we posed for pictures. We negotiated with the sergeant of arms trying to get in on the floor itself, and they have rules and regulations that for quorum that they wouldn't allow it. And so we were respectful and we didn't take it. And of course, as like any gun right rally, you always have that one idiot in the crowd that wants to come in locked and loaded, finger on the trigger, carrying at port arms. Ready arms there, and looking like he's assaulting a building. We had a little bit of issue with him, a little hothead, wanted to make a big issue, and we kind of calmed him down and everything. We almost had the state patrol arresting. He wasn't with our group, he just come in, he just followed us in.
Yeah.
And we hung around in the Capitol for a while, and then one of our good friends, and you've met him before, Max Shea, came up and spoke with us, and shook our hands and gave us a speech and told us that we were doing the right thing.
Tell him who Matt Shea is.
Matt Shea is one of our state representatives. He's also a combat veteran that I served with in Iraq. Good guy. He's been fighting liberty here. Last year alone, they passed more liberty gun bills and liberty bills in general than they have in this state in four decades. Him and the Freedom Agenda team. So, and also he was our state rep that joined us down at the Bundy Ranch, Coach.
Yeah, that's where I met him, yep.
He was one of our state reps. We also had state rep Dave Taylor down there with us,
yep.
Which we got to talk to him also on the Capitol. And so the other groups, their whole idea was they wanted to come in and have all these fancy speakers and then go around and talk to all the state reps, and which is kind of a good idea, I guess. Well, we went in and we did our thing, and the state reps come to us and tell us how proud they were of us. You know, they realized that they were our servants and we're the masters, and they wanted to tell us how proud they were of us. And so it was really good. We basically shut down the session for the day. It was a win for us. We let the state representatives know that if they don't follow their oath, if they don't follow the law, we will be back. And we got a lot of applause for it. I mean, we made history. We took our own capital without any aggression. We made ourselves known, and it was a great thing, Cope.
Yeah, I bet it was. That was a, when I was there last month, it was, it just about bring you to tears. Not that it's a sad thing, but that's, things that have to do with our country and kids and the spirit, it pretty easily brings me to tears sometimes. And it was pretty close up there. It was a great thing to witness. I was so proud to be a part of it. I was proud to stand with so damn many patriots up there. Just unbelievable. And nobody give in. Nobody backed away. Nobody shirked. Everybody got right in there and made a big deal out of it, and I am glad of it.
Yeah, we're all proud of all the patriots that stood up today. I'm really proud of Dylan for starting that group and having the courage, because he was the first one out the door to say, we don't have to stand for this. We don't have to let our own gun right groups do this to us. We can stand and have our own. And so I'm really proud of Dylan for that. And he had a good team, and I'm proud of my team, the Bold Liberty team. We all pulled together. We worked hard on it. And the great thing about it is, Cope, when we did the 13th rally,
yeah,
we had less than 30 days and $5,000, and we pulled it off as big as it was.
I know it. That was amazing.
This rally was put on, Cope, by every gun right group in Washington State with deep pockets. And the best they could pull off in 2 months was 250 people.
Let me guess. Alan Gottlieb was less than impressed with what went on today, I'm guessing.
Oh, he was hopping mad, Cope. I mean, you can't express how much that little man was hopping mad.
I'll bet.
And it brought us Patriots great joy to watch it, to watch a little tyrant, a little weasel just squirm like that.
Didn't anybody get a video of it, did they?
You know, we had so much other thing. We were a little bit of razzing, but his speeches and his stance was so lame, we couldn't even bring ourselves to pity him enough to, I mean, we just walked off. And his own crowd was sitting there shaking their heads like, who is this guy? And they were only following him because they were told to. You know, I'm proud of Patriots, but I watched from the top steps of that Capitol today. I watched Patriots come across the field, see the majority of that crowd being unarmed, turn around and take their weapons back to their car and put them in the car and join the bootlicking crowd.
Oh, I'll be damned.
You know, we have brave Patriots, and then we have those Patriots that they just give it up just because everybody else is. And, you know, it was a great, happy day for us today, Cope, but you still have those Patriots out there that just still haven't reached down deep and grabbed that courage yet.
Yeah. Yep, I know exactly what you mean. I've seen a bunch of them. I'm going to find something here. Go ahead and see if you can tell us a little bit. Oh, I tell you what you need to tell us about is if you've got that all taken care of, we need to let everybody know what's going on with Gavin right now.
Yes, we actually really do. Now if we can just keep the militias from going breaking him out, that's the issue here, Cope.
Yeah.
Let me kind of back up a little bit here. Here a couple of weeks ago, Gavin's sister's boyfriend got pulled over for speeding, and he was speeding. He was wrong. He was definitely in wrong for speeding. And the young man got pulled over. He questioned the officer why he got pulled over, and he took a little bit longer than the officer liked to hand the officer his ID, from my understanding. And I actually talked to the family today. I talked to Gavin's wife, and I also talked to Gavin's brother Nathan today. And you've met Nathan down in Bundy also.
Yep, I remember.
I talked to them and got what happened, because we were clear on the other side of the state where the two teams were actually split to the different sides of the states when this happened. And so I talked to the family, and basically what happened is the kid got charged failure to comply with a police officer.
Yeah.
He didn't give up his driver's license fast enough. And so the officer proceeded to open the door and drag the kid out and arrest him because the kid asked why. Well, Gavin, you know Gavin, he took that upon himself to fight that tyranny. And so he went to court with this young man, and they did their research. They notified the court 2 weeks ago that they would be recording the court session. The court never contacted them back and denied their request. And so, as a normal person would assume, that their request was granted. I mean, you don't have to ask permission to exercise a right. You know, you give the court the opportunity to deny it, which they did not do. And so Gavin, some of his family members, set up in court to film. Actually, Nathan was doing the filming at this time. And Bailiff come back and told Gavin's brother Nathan to quit filming. And Nathan told him he wasn't going to. He had the right to film. And Bailiff left the courtroom. And I know this is kind of a little bit of a long story here, but kind of has a lot to do with it.
That's okay.
And so the bailiff left the courtroom, apparently to go talk to the judge, because the judge wasn't in the courtroom yet. As a matter of fact, they hadn't even selected a jury yet. And the bailiff come back in and ordered two state or county sheriffs to arrest Nathan, to remove him from the courtroom, excuse me. And they grabbed him and went to remove him from the courtroom. And Nathan, like a good patriot, hollered out, "Who will stand with me?" Believe it or not, Coach, 10 men in the audience stood up and blocked the doorway.
Outstanding.
They seen what was happening. 10 patriots, just random patriots, stood up out of the crowd and said, "Jim, we're not allowing this to happen. You will cease." Well, the sheriff's deputies ended up using Gavin's brother as a battering ram and beat their way through the crowd to get out. And so they chucked Gavin's brother out of the courtroom. And Gavin stood up and challenged the judge. And like I said, I'm kind of relaying the story because I talked to his family tonight. Challenged the judge, asked the judge if they wanted to be placed in contempt of court. And the judge smarted off, I guess, and Gavin threatened to arrest the judge if they continued with the contempt. And from my understanding, at that point, the judge gets up off of the podium, and they hadn't called court to order yet, so the court isn't even in session, so the judge doesn't have no authority yet, from my understanding, and ordered Gavin to be arrested under contempt of court. Which they grabbed Gavin and they drug him out and cuffed him, and then the judge left the chambers. And then the sheriff walks in from that county, and a sheriff in a courtroom charges another man, which happens to be Gavin's dad, Grant, with contempt of court. Have you ever heard a sheriff stand up in a court and charge a person with contempt of court?
Nope.
We have a sheriff standing on the podium of a court, acting as a judge, and ordering that Grant be arrested and charged with contempt of court. The judge never comes back into the room. They get removed. They ended up getting charged with contempt of court and disrupting a court proceeding is what they actually got arrested for. Once they were arrested, they were arrested in Douglas County, Washington. They were then later moved to a different county, which is Chelan County. From my understanding, they're going to be getting moved another 150 miles north tomorrow morning to Okanagan County. Have you ever heard of people for contempt of court getting moved from three counties? No one knows why.
Okay, now,
why to keep moving?
How does that work as far as the jurisdiction goes? If they're taking him out of a county, I can see the state moving him. Was this a state deal or a county? Why would one county move him to another county?
Well, from my understanding, the original arrest was done by the Douglas County Sheriff's Department, so it was a county deal.
So I don't understand how they could move him to, you know, two or three counties away and maintain jurisdiction.
Well, here's the other thing, Cope. From what I hear, is there was abnormal amount of law enforcement in the area, in the court building, and in the parking lot when Gavin arrived. It looks like a political setup.
They
knew he was going to fight in court, and they had massive amount of law enforcement on site to deal with him. And now they're bouncing him from county to county. My guess, and this is just my educated guess, if they can move him 200 miles away from his hometown where this court proceeding was going, well, he's going to probably lose about half of his supporters just because of mileage.
And that's why.
Because they're working and everything else. Yeah, that's the only thing we can think of. What we originally heard is that he was going to be wasn't going to get bail until Monday. For some reason, the judge was refusing a bail hearing until Monday. We have got another story from the family tonight that possibly the judge might consider a bail hearing tomorrow, but we're not sure.
Might consider a bail hearing. How constitutional is that?
Yeah, exactly. Might consider a bail hearing. But yeah, I mean it's quite the deal. I mean it's almost like the court is using the sheriff's departments as their own little thugs.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So,
I guess they got pretty rough with him too. I guess the sheriff, when they were trying to when they were discussing it with Gavin, because you know everything's a discussion with Gavin.
Yeah.
They ended up, the sheriff just went up to Gavin and just planted his arm in Gavin's chest and knocked him over some chairs and stuff. You know, Gavin, he doesn't physically resist. You know, he will verbally resist, but he doesn't physically resist. But I guess this sheriff just pummeled him. And didn't even give Gavin a time to go to his knees or turn around and be cuffed or nothing, just pummeled into him. And then I guess there's a video, I haven't had a chance to view it tonight because I just got back from Olympia myself, but I guess the video's gotten them twisting him all up in knots.
Huh. And sounds like he may have a lawsuit when he gets out of there.
You know, he may have. You know, I know there's been plenty of times when Gavin has had grounds for lawsuits against the county and stuff, especially like when he ran for Congress. In his own hometown, the county, Douglas County, they would send law enforcement out to remove his campaign signs. He's got it on film.
Huh. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
But that's where we're at on it now, Cope. I really don't have any more information on it now. That's what I got from the family tonight. But we'll continue to monitor that.
Yeah, and if anything significant comes up, let me know, and we'll get you back on here and see. You know, I have to say that I wondered at some point from even, you know, from the time that I was up there when we stood out there and told the state patrol that we didn't come here to negotiate. We come here to tell you, just as a courtesy call, and tell you what we were going to do. And I thought from that point on, and for the last, last few weeks while this has been going on, I have wondered a little bit about Gavin's safety, about something like this happening. So I have to tell you that it doesn't come as a real big surprise to me that this happened, because in my own mind, I kind of had a notion that, there was a possibility that something like this may be coming up.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's gotten pretty serious a couple times that when Gavin went out to do some filming, he actually asked me personally to go with him for security. So there was two of us there. So there was two people filming and, you know, two witnesses because the law enforcement has started gotten so aggressive with him. In turn, I will say, you know, Gavin is definitely keeping them in check a lot more. You know, he's watching for their violations of the law and stuff. And so it's escalating. I know one time Gavin was out by his little camp trailer that he took to Bundy there that we used down there as a headquarters, and it was out in the heat, and the tire exploded. And it's pretty sad when you've got a patriot like Gavin, and the first thought in his mind when that tire exploded behind him is, did somebody just miss me?
Wow.
You know, we're starting to live in a pretty sad time when a patriot's got to wonder that when he hears a bang behind him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's things going on in this country as we speak that I can't talk about too much at this point, but there's things going on that's going to affect people like Gavin and everybody that's been involved, the more vocal members of the Patriot community and militia leaders and stuff, I'll share some more of that with you on a different venue here or different means here later. But the time is here. Everything that we've been talking about for the last few years, we're on it right now. We're just about
exactly.
the pen has been full. It's just a matter of the one finger left that's holding the spoon on. And
you know, the two things, Cook, that patriots need to understand, if they don't stand together, they will fall alone.
Yep.
And the second one is, if we don't do it, our children's going to have to.
And I'd rather not leave them with that.
Our children are going to have to buy back the freedom we give away. You know, they're going to have to buy back that freedom that we have given away, and they're going to have to buy it back with their blood.
Yeah.
So as patriots, we need to understand, we need to stand now, and we need to stand together.
Well, I hope that people will understand that and see that the longer they wait and the more that they do not get involved at this point right now, the harder it's going to be for everybody later on. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. It's the way it is.
And It is, Pope, and you know, the Patriots need to understand, we don't have to stand in violence. We can stand in peace, but stand firmly. The violence is coming, and it's going to come to us. We don't have to start it. We don't have to stand in violence. We can most definitely stand in peace.
Yep.
And we take the high ground, and when the violence comes, we just got to meet it. We don't have to be tyrants. We don't have to meet this stereotype that we got to be the violent ones. We can be the peaceful ones, because it's going to meet us.
Yeah, and I think it that can't do anything but help us when they initiate the violence and we are forced to respond to it. If we initiate it, we lose everything.
We do. Yeah, we must. We always must remember. We must keep high ground. We must take the high road.
That's a fact. You know, I can't help but some of the things that you were talking about in the Capitol building and stuff a while ago. I'm reminded of the Mark Twain quote. Said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave, hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And that is exactly what we have witnessed in Washington. That's what we've witnessed every place that there has been a good turnout for a rally for a good cause. We have witnessed Mark Twain's quote to the letter.
You know, the one thing I'd like to throw out there, Cope, you know, it's a normal thing for our wives and amongst us to stay home and take care of the families while the men go fight the wars. But I'm telling you, Cope, the women are standing faster in droves than the men are now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriot women that are standing, and they're standing strong. They're standing, you know, resolute. I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, it's gotten to the point that even the women are standing and looking around and say, ain't there any men left in this country? Stand with us. Our women are calling us to stand.
You know, I was amazed at the number of women that I saw in Olympia on the 13th. I was amazed at the ones that were at the front of the lines, carrying guns, marching right up, you know, around the state police, and you know, they weren't just hanging out there kind of scared and hanging on to their boyfriend's shirt sleeve. You know, they were marching, you know, dragging the boyfriends in. And it was just an amazing thing to see. And I want to tell you, for any of you men that may be listening, and there may be some, you know, there'll be some on the archives and podcasts and stuff later. I want you to take note of this last 3 minutes of this discussion. And some of you big sissies out there that have let these women absolutely revoke your man card because you're wusses. And, you know, we can do this with the women like Kit and Maria, Amy, and some of the ones we saw up there, Amanda. We can do this without the Alan Gottliebs out there that profess to be patriots and Second Amendment supporters, but in fact, they're boot-licking dogs is what they are.
Exactly. You know, Cope, I'm going to tell you a little story real quick so I don't take up your time here a whole bunch, but I want to tell you a story, and I ain't going to put out names or anything because it could be hard on somebody. But I actually had a woman come to me a couple months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I can't remember when exactly it was, and she come to me, and she goes, I know you're a combat veteran. I know you've done this. I know you teach your family. I see your kids handle guns. I see the videos that you do. I see the pictures you post. Teach me. And I was like, well, have your husband do it. You know, have your husband teach you first. And then, you know, I'll help out. And she goes, my husband can't do it. He won't do it. There's no protection in my home if it comes. I am forced to step forward, take the training, and learn the tactics because my husband will not do it.
Thinks he
That's
needs a
sad
new husband.
Time in America. That's a sad time in America when women have to do that.
Yep.
You know, and it's happening a lot. I think this time around, Cope, I think it's got a lot. If the men don't wake up, it's going to be on the women's shoulders.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's sad.
Well, it's going to be dropped in our lap here before too long, and we'll find out just how, you know, where everybody stands. And we better be prepared to be grossly disappointed with the outcome, I'm afraid.
I believe you're correct there, Cole.
Well, all right. Well, if you don't have anything else to add, then we'll let you go, and you kind of keep on top of things there. And if you get some significant information on what's going on there, if it's not anything that you can just share with me real quick, but if it's something juicy, we'll get a hold of me. We'll get you on the show at a moment's notice and follow up on this. Keep track of what's going on with Gavin and the legislation there.
Yeah, well, we got some great news that I'll have to wait until a later time to put out, Cope, but we got a great time to sit and talk with some great statesmen over here, and this year is going to be an interesting year. We've got some great stuff planned. We're working together, and it's going to be some history-breaking stuff that we've got planned over here.
Rest assured, there's going to be history-breaking stuff all over the country this year. I think this, we've said it before. We've said it numerous times, but I think this is our year.
I think this is when it comes
together or falls apart, depending on which side you're on.
Exactly.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you spending a little time with us and stay in touch. I'll be sending you a text here in a little bit with some other things that we need to take care of. So
that sounds good. I want to wish you and Amy a good evening and your listeners. And as soon as I get off, I'll be listening to your show.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go. The things are escalating a little bit all over the country. Let's get off of that for a minute. We have several other things I want to touch on, and one of them was the story that Minnie just posted right there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I know everybody's seen it. There was a 132-year-old Winchester rifle found leaning up against a tree in Nevada at a park, at a state park, I think it was. National Park is what it was. At first, it sounds like, that it's been standing there for 132 years. It has been standing there for quite a while. But from what it looks like, there's a pretty good close-up picture there. And it hasn't grown into the tree, so it's probably been there for a good while. I don't think it's been there the whole time. There's still a little bit of green on the tree, so nobody knows. Interesting thing to find. It's a 44-40, and how cool would it have been to stumble into that? And there's bound to be guns leaning against trees in forest, you know, everywhere. People just haven't found them yet, because you know that there are people that were lost, wounded, sick, killed, kidnapped, went off somewhere to go to the bathroom and couldn't find their gun when they came back. Any number of things. You know, there's no telling what may have happened. Chased away for whatever reason. And left rifles leaning up against trees. Maybe some stuck in trees where they're going to come back later and get it, but then couldn't find it. You know, it's no telling. Interesting stuff. They will likely... They'll likely never find out where this rifle came from. It would be so very interesting if they could, but it's saying that it's possible the rifle could have been undisturbed for more than a century right there. So when you look at that juniper tree there, there's a little bit of green on it. Maybe the part that they, that cedar, that juniper will stand there for, you know, hundreds of years. That's what a lot of the fence posts and stuff are made of in this part of the country. There's fences built with that stuff that's been up for, since the 1850s. and maybe earlier than that, that are still in fairly decent shape. So that standing in its natural state, maybe just growing on one side or something, it may have looked just like that 120 or 30 years ago when this rifle was leaned up against that tree. Very interesting story. Very cool stuff. Okay, I don't know where to start with some of the many other things that I have to share with you here. Let me first, I want to breeze up here just a little bit and check out and see if I've missed anything on the chat room here, just in case. The Catapon, if you paid for 3 days shipping for that stuff, you got screwed because it's still not here. So I don't know what happened. Anyway, we'll keep watching for it. I'll get you a tracking number for your package here. I've got it in my bedroom there. I'll get it and get it to you here maybe tonight or first thing tomorrow anyway. All right. Well, let's go with this one. Totally unrelated to everything else that we're talking about, but it is a jackbooted thug story, so I guess it's not that unrelated. Here is an officer who has a 19-year-old kid, not the officer, but there was a 19-year-old kid walking down the street, 9:30 at night, and this was in Hawaii, and he was hit by a car, a Toyota Corolla to be exact. The driver of the Corolla stopped, remained on the scene. According to witnesses, here comes the highly skilled trained professional. Comes breezing up through there. The kid was alive and responsive. And at this point, the police cruiser come barreling in, tires screeching. Ran over the kid again, killed him. Unbelievable. Highly trained, skilled professionals. Medics came there and no vital signs, presumed that he was dead on the scene. Later transported to the hospital where he was formally pronounced dead. The kid here was a close friend of the one that got run over, said he was a typical good teen. They always say that. Played basketball, video games, used to ramble through the Carolina woods hunting squirrels. Good boy, lots of friends, good person, a lot of potential. They always say that when somebody gets killed, no matter how good they are. But in this case, you know, very well may have been. As the story says, the case is tragic and is not an example of cold-blooded killing by police. It illustrates the fallibility of law enforcement and the reckless attitude within their ranks. There's a lot of that going around these days. This is the second time in a week where a police officer has killed a pedestrian. On the 28th of December, this story's, you know, a week old or so. On the 28th of December in Franklin Township, New Jersey, a 10-year-old boy struck and killed by a speeding police vehicle as he walked to a friend's house for a sleepover. Police officer involved in the incident was placed on administrative leave pending the investigation. They'd have to put me on administrative leave pending my release from the mental hospital. Man, that would not be a good thing. So, well, we got a ton of other stories here, and I've been here 2 hours already, so I think I'm going to call it quits here. And Tampico Scout, we appreciate you taking the time to come in there with us. Great story. Great report on what's going on up there in Washington right now is setting the bar, folks, for the rest of us, and they're setting it pretty damn high. So I would suggest if you have any notion of even trying to keep up with what's going on in Washington, You better suck it up, Buttercup, and get ready, because they are damn sure leading the charge for us up there. And I'll be back up there again in June. I hope to go to the Arms Expo that's going to be happening. I think that's on the, let me look here real quick. I think it's around the 20th, isn't it? Something like that. Let me look. Yeah, it's going to be on the 20th. And the following weekend, on the 26th, 27th, and 28th, we'll be doing a three-day personal defense handgun class around near Yakima, Washington. Great class. We got a lot of people that are anxious, chomping a bit to get in on that. If now anybody can get in on this. It's just like any other class that we do. We have people come from all over the United States to get in these classes. So if you want to come and experience that in Yakima with a bunch of hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool, carved-in-stone, absolute epitome of patriots, then I suggest you try to get in on this class up there. It'd be a hell of a lot of fun. So, with all that being said, I'm going to bid you adieu. I'll be back tomorrow night with Liberty Lounge. I hope some of you will join us for that. It's always a lot of fun. And we'll see you then. By the way, Fox is back.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.